Welcome to Cook, Eat, Run, a podcast that talks to real runners about real food. I'm Charlie Watson, registered dietitian, author of cookbook Cook, Eat, Run, and 13-time marathoner. I believe that nutrition shouldn't be complicated. This podcast brings you evidence-based nutritional advice specifically for runners. Everything you wanted to know but didn't know who to ask, plus everyday runners achieving amazing things, from couch to 5K through to multi-stage ultramarathoners. This is Cook, Eat, Run. Welcome, Laura Matthews. Thanks for joining me.
Hello, nice to be here. Thank you for the invite.
No, well, thank you. And Laura's actually brought me some pip and nut chocolate
peanut butter cups.
Yes.
They are divine.
We've met once before and she knows me so well already. And I'm feeling a bit under the weather, so I apologise about my nasal voice. Bear with me. But Laura, you are amazing. You are a registered nutritionist, a personal trainer, and also a nutrition advisor, sports nutrition advisor.
Yeah.
Can you just explain a little bit about what the difference is between just a registered nutritionist and a sports nutrition advisor?
Yep, sure. So there's a lot of different qualifications that you can do that then earn you a different title as such. So I'm a registered nutritionist, specifically in food. That's through the Association for Nutrition. And I guess, you know, being accredited through them and qualified through them, it just really signposts and kind of supports my qualification and guarantees the public that I'm offering evidence-based information, really. So I've done a lot of work over the last couple of years with Future Fit Training. And one of the big reasons why I went through them, so they're a personal trainer provider, course provider.
They're a really great course provider because they have accredited
all the content is accredited through the Association for Nutrition,
which is brilliant.
and really rare, to be honest, really rare. So that was a big reason for me and a great coup as to why I went.
Yeah, and Dame Kelly Holmes, you just told me,
that's right, trained with them. Yeah, she qualified also as a personal trainer in the last year or so, again through them.
So totally legit, whereas a lot of online. Unfortunately, online nutrition type courses, online personal training courses are not so trustworthy.
Yeah, indeed, exactly.
So you are the real deal.
I don't know
and
that.
You also, so excitingly, used to be the head of nutrition for Jamie Oliver.
That's right, yeah. So I worked for Jamie for almost 10 years.
I'm so jealous.
With him a couple of years ago, yeah. Had a brilliant career and time with him. So my role was head of nutrition, so I helped support him with looking at nutrition in his book, in his cookbooks, looking at the nutrition of his restaurant menus, supporting with campaign work, particularly on sugar tax.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff in schools, which...
Before my time.
Oh, right, so sorry. But now you work in schools.
Yeah, exactly. So now I work for myself, I work freelance, and a lot of the work that I do is working with borough councils, particularly in London, looking at school food, nursery food, looking at the quality and trying to make change and improve it for the better.
So important that we educate our kids so that we can try and stop this obesity epidemic before
and making sure that they've got the best meal that they can possibly have, really, and that teachers and staff have as much information as they can to understand better the standards that exist so that the food can be the best it can be for the children.
You're amazing. You also... Another accolade is that you have been working with professional runner Steph Twell on her nutrition and supporting her road to hopefully getting to Tokyo in August.
July, yeah, in Tokyo, yep. So Steph, yeah, brilliant individual. I'm going to talk a bit more about her later.
Yeah. But,
fantastic athlete, fantastic foodie as well to be working with. Very inspiring, but yeah, we've had a great kind of working relationship over the last year or so and been helping her a lot with her nutrition.
Can't wait to hear more and also hopefully get her on the podcast when she's back training from America. So today we are going to be talking about post-run fueling, something that I definitely got very, very wrong when I trained for my first marathon, put on loads of weight because I'd get back and I would eat an entire packet of chocolate fingers, sometimes a sausage sandwich as well, and maybe a jacket potato because I thought, I'm running 18 miles, I can eat whatever I want. And I was just so hungry.
Yeah.
But why is it so important that we consider what we're eating post-run?
So many different areas. Where to start? So I guess, the main kind of purpose of post-exercise fuel is really helping the body to recover, to repair and adapt to rehydrate as well. I think that's a really key one that a lot of people forget. I think it's also important to really tailor your nutrition depending on what your training session is and how long it is. Because if you're doing kind of an easy run, or you've perhaps
probably
got a rest
don't
day,
need the full packet of biscuits.
Yeah, it might be better to kind of just consider a bit more about how much you're eating that day. So yeah, thinking about what type of session is it you're going to be doing. Is it high, medium or low intensity, and how long you're actually going to be running for?
Yeah. So if we're thinking about a medium intensity session, should we be thinking about overall the amount of food we're having, the type of food, the ratios, or is it just like, don't have a huge, huge meal? Like, can you give some advice? So if I've done like, let's say an 8 mile interval workout.
Yeah.
What should I eat?
I mean, I think you'd probably look at it perhaps over the period of a week as well, and think about the other sessions that you're doing, but perhaps kind of when you're ramping up the intensities a bit more, looking to increase your protein intake and looking to increase your carbohydrate intake. I guess I don't want to go into kind of details because then we'd have to start talking about kind of your training plan and how much you weigh, looking at that kind of level of detail
right now.
But yeah, I guess more on a general,
on
a more generic basis, if you're increasing the training and the intensity, then looking to increase your carbohydrate intake and your protein intake.
Yeah. So I've always used the 3-to-1 ratio,
carbohydrates to protein
post-workout. Mm-hmm. And then that's quite easy to scale up for a bigger workout and down for a
I think that can be a little bit intimidating for people to think about. So I think generally, I think just trying to make sure you're including perhaps a portion of carbohydrate food in your meal, and also some protein in your meal as well. Again, we can kind of go into more examples on that shortly.
And talking of protein, there's this protein window that particularly a lot of gym goers and bodybuilders have told us that we've got 20 minutes and we must eat, you know, we must have a protein shake, or we must have 3 eggs or whatever it is. Is that really true? Do we need to be
taking off
our shoes and immediately diving headfirst into a bowl of protein?
So again, I think it can really depend on the individual, how much training they're doing and the intensity of that training, and also whether they're doing two sessions of training perhaps in a day's or double day. Yeah, I mean, kind of the 2 hours after exercise are really important for accelerating recovery. Muscles are more receptive to the nutrients to begin that rebuilding process during that period. But yeah, as I say, consider the timing of your next training. Is it 24 hours or is it just 12 hours until your next training session? And perhaps if you do have another training session within the next 12 hours, then ensure that you're getting enough kind of adequate fuel and nutrition within those first kind of half an hour or so after finishing the exercise session.
I think for me, I always choose better if I'm like, right, I know I'm going to have this when I get home, rather than letting myself become absolutely starving.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to pick something quick and easy and maybe not the most nutritious.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think good to plan ahead for sure.
Which you kind of have to do if you've only got this 20 minute.
And also, I think if you're training for something in particular, I think it's a good way to help support in reaching that goal.
Actually, I read some research when I was writing my book about how actually if we're not training the same day, as long as we meet our protein targets within the day, then we should be okay.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, in practice, somewhere between kind of 15 to 25 grams of protein per meal is going to cover the needs, I'd say, of most runners. I think it's keen to kind of stagger that protein intake throughout the day of what your whatever your daily intake is, to make sure you're staggering it rather than including it in one whole go.
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
A protein feast.
I just try and have carbs, protein and fat basically with each meal and each snack. And then you've covered yourself for the whole day with each meal.
I think just going through a bit of a tick list with each meal that you have. I mean, not to take the fun out of it, far from it, but just making sure you've got those kind of key food groups in each meal that you have.
They do a little test on us when we started recording the podcast. We were talking about your porridge this morning and you add loads of stuff to it. I like the way that you kind of look at it as like, let's build this meal by being like, right, here's my carbs, let's add some fat. You were talking about, right, I had porridge, but I also had this and this and this. Can you just talk a little bit about your amazing bowl of porridge this morning?
I guess for me, I'm quite conscious about my son and making sure that he's getting all the kind of nutrients that he needs to start him off, at the beginning of the day. So this morning we had porridge. So obviously with oats, I threw in some cinnamon, some ground almonds kind of mixed in. So again, a bit of a boost of protein in there, alongside with some yogurt. So thinking about the dairy element, and then some fruit on top as well. Yeah, delicious. It was very popular in our house.
Can you come and make me some breakfast?
Oh, I would gladly.
I literally had overnight oats out of a Tupperware at my desk. With coconut milk and strawberries. Kind of out of season strawberries, so they weren't great. So yours sounds great. We talked a little bit about this already, but we talked about carbs and protein helping refuel our bodies after the run. Why are those the two most important, you know, macronutrients in terms of refueling our muscles and our bodies?
Yep, so protein and carbs, two of the macronutrients. So protein is really key to build and repair muscles and the little micro tears that you can get from doing things like running. Carbohydrates, really important to restore glycogen in muscles and liver. So we kind of already touched on it, but something like milk is a brilliant...
love milk.
Brilliant post-run drink, because it's a good blend of carbohydrates and protein. Yeah.
And it doesn't even, like, I always go to coffee when I get home. I make myself a milky coffee or in the summer I treat myself to an iced coffee. And actually that's a really great way of getting it within that window without me feeling like I have to sit down and have a whole meal or I don't have time to have this.
Yeah.
So I just drink it while I'm getting ready, have it in the shower, leave them all over my house. I'm sorry to my husband, I leave coffee cups everywhere.
For me, something like a hot chocolate I think is a really good post run because of the milk, and you're obviously getting some energy from the chocolate in there as well, and sugar. I think that one's a good post run.
So those are almost like recovery drinks that we would not really think of as recovery drinks. Do we need to be buying these specific, you know,
kind of
protein shakes the drinks that we see hugely marketed at runners?
Yeah, really interesting area. I think certainly in the last few years it's become, particularly protein powders have become so popular. They've got a huge amount of promotion and publicity these days. I guess, you know, the protein powder, for example, is useful if there's limited time to prepare food, or if you've got limited access to food at the time.
If you're travelling and you're don't have my coffee machine, or I don't know where I'm going to get my next
source
meal
from, or fuel from. I think they can be good then. I guess you've got to bear in mind they are expensive. They're quite an expensive way of getting protein into the diet. When actually, you know, just trying to get protein from actual food, I think is really important. So thinking about things like eggs, lentils, nuts, pulses, fish, meat. Oh, and also, I guess to add that, you know, you can get some really good meat-free alternatives these days. I think you need to be kind of mindful of the salt content. But yeah, there's some good options out there now.
Yeah, I think that we almost are fed this, that protein is king and we must add protein to everything. Whereas actually there are so many plant-based sources of protein. We're getting protein from broccoli and from grains and literally so many sources that it's not that difficult.
Yeah, to get it into our diet.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you don't need supplements. If you were going to go for one, do you use one? Do you use any protein?
Occasionally, not very often. I can't remember what the name of the brand is, I'm not going to lie.
Do you go for a whey protein?
Yeah, would use a whey protein, yeah. Yeah. It's literally just convenience, I would use it, but it's not very often, to be honest. Generally, I would make like my own smoothie if I'm at home, using kind of nuts, yogurt, to boost the protein content from those kind of foods.
Yeah, so not necessary, but maybe something people could think about when they're travelling or, you know, going straight to work or something where they are very limited on time or resources.
Yeah, I mean, looking at food first for your protein.
Yeah. That's my advice as well. So a lot of people feel sick when they have done a race or done a really hard effort, or they're just not hungry. I'm not one of those people. I literally think about food the entire time that I'm running often, especially during a marathon. Is it like, why could that happen? Is it important for them to still try and eat something even though they feel a bit nauseous? And is there any way that they can avoid the nausea?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know kind of the individual details for this person, but...
I know that it's happened to quite a few people. My uncle, when he was training for the London Marathon, I was like, yeah, but you just, you know, surely you're starving. And he'd be like, no, I feel sick for hours.
I mean, I wonder if it's, let's say it's a morning run, perhaps if you're going out first thing, straight after you've woken up or got up, are you dehydrated already? Because I know certainly nausea is a symptom or sign of
dehydration. So perhaps even... people that are doing them later on during the day are either dehydrated going into the run or simply not drinking enough during the run.
Exactly, yeah.
To make them nauseous. That's really interesting.
So yeah, I think that's the key one to think about. And also just generally just keeping well hydrated before a run, during and after and throughout the rest of the day. I think, you know, there are so many good ways of kind of keeping hydrated now. I think, you know, carrying a water bottle around. For me, the trick is always to kind of keep water in each room in my house. I can't really avoid it. So keeping it in the kitchen, yeah. A glass, a bottle in the bedroom, bottle in the car. But also flavouring it as well with, you know, whether it's herbs, with lemons, using kind of citrus to give it extra flavour boost, and cucumber, rosemary, all those kind of different ingredients.
Like those really smart hotels that have lovely water in there.
Yeah, that look beautiful.
In the lobby that I'm like, why isn't this in my house?
Yeah, I think there's really good ways to kind of flavour water, just to kind of make you drink them. You're more likely to drink them if you've got something like that in there.
Yeah. Or, I mean, nowadays there's so many great, like, cordials and squashes and sugar-free, you know, additives that you can use.
Yeah.
I actually don't really drink squash since they made Ribena sugar-free. I don't really like it. But my husband drinks a lot of Robinson squash, and it means that he'll have a huge pint of liquid in the evening, whereas I struggle in the evenings to drink enough.
Yeah.
I'm good during the day and then the evening.
But then also because you don't want to be peeing during the night.
Getting old. But then, yeah, often I do struggle with feeling so incredibly thirsty by the end of my morning run. Mm. So
I think also
to think about.
Yeah, I think also just with the nausea, you know, have you eaten too much or eaten too little? Also being mindful of what you eat, but right beforehand doing a run, so perhaps, you know, spicy foods, you know, keeping them or kind of minimising them right before a run, perhaps, you know, they can kind of irritate the gut. So I think things like that are good to keep in mind.
Okay, and then if they are feeling sick, is it still as important for them to try to eat something? Should we be saying, you know, yeah, I know you feel a bit unwell, but actually this could make you feel better, or it might limit your recovery if you don't?
I mean, again, I think it's just so individual. I think it's down to the individual person to kind of test it out for themselves, really, trying to work out what works and what doesn't in terms of kind of food and drink that you eat before and after a run.
Yeah, I think what you were saying earlier about, like, thinking about what you've got next. So when is your next workout? So is it in 12 hours time or 24? Or is this your goal marathon race and you're not going to be working out for a while? In which case, it's probably less important.
Yeah.
Because although you might be waddling down the stairs the next day.
Yeah.
You're not asking your body to do more.
Yeah. I mean, I think kind of for more seasoned runners, I think, you know, you would have established that quite early on, I think, what works and what doesn't work for you. I think it might, maybe nausea is going to be for kind of more beginner runners.
Although I know that when I've had friends that have done races that are either particularly hot, you know, and they've sweat a lot more, or they've had they felt nauseous and then they couldn't fuel properly, and so they probably got themselves into a worse situation towards the end, which unfortunately has happened to a lot of us, that even the most seasoned runners can have a bad race, a bad run, have got too complacent and not thought about things enough.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be, you know, conditions on the day, obviously, of a race that you haven't perhaps experienced during training. It can totally throw you. You're not used to perhaps drinking that volume of liquid on race day when it's really hot. That's a tricky one that you can't necessarily plan for.
So basically it's just trial and error, really.
I think trial and error, really, yeah. Yeah, certainly.
Sorry,
for fueling.
No easy answer there.
No.
Would you suggest, like, so we all have these, you know, pre-race rituals, and we bring, you know, I bring my breakfast to the start line, or I know exactly what I'm eating, but I almost never think about the finish other than when it's my race marathon, my goal marathon, and I'm like thinking about the burger and chips I'm going to have at the end. Should we be thinking about that when we're going to, you know, on race day, and putting something in our kit bag to be eating immediately
afterwards,
rather than being like, oh, let's see what's in the goodie bag and hoping for the best?
I think quite often when you've finished an event, it can kind of go out the window a little bit as to what you're going to eat and fuel yourself with. But perhaps for somebody like you, you might have another event coming, you know, quite imminently soon after that race
day. Especially when I'm using it I know a lot of people use
as a training
half marathons as long runs for marathon training.
I think try and think ahead and plan ahead as to what you're going to have, what options you're going to have perhaps on the day, where you're going to go, who you're with. Try and think ahead, you know, again, trying to incorporate an element of protein, of carbohydrates, fat, dairy into your meal.
Yeah. I mean, I suffer with hanger.
Right.
So
yep.
Not only do my muscles need it, but I am an awful person when I haven't eaten. So I should maybe think about that in terms of the people that I'm with. Like, let's bring a snack so that I'm not hungry. Laura bumped into me in the street before we recorded this, and I was literally munching one of those Pret chocolate bars. She was like, I've even brought you some. And I was like, oh gosh, literally, this is embarrassing. But yeah, I need fuel to be.
Yeah, but you've had a crazy busy day, and you know, at this time of the hour of the day, you need some energy.
Sugar and some caffeine, not ideal. Okay, do you have any quick suggestions of things that people can eat if they've done their run in the morning, as like good breakfast or snack options for the morning, or in the evening when they've maybe done a workout straight after work, but they're not going home yet to have their evening meal?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like kind of things that they can easily grab and go or bring with them.
Yep. So if you've done your run in the morning, perhaps, and you're not scheduled a meal immediately, then yeah, for kind of a post run snack, literally something like a glass of milk and a banana, or a smoothie made from kind of fruit, yogurt, perhaps some nuts for an extra protein boost. You know, a small piece of flapjack, something like that, or a handful of nuts and some dates or dried fruit.
Yeah.
Although saying that, I'm not sure, I don't always recommend dried fruit for a snack just because of the tooth decay.
Oh,
I should
God.
Maybe scrap that bit.
I feel like there's nothing that we can eat that is like really good anymore. I was having this conversation at work today. You're like, someone's got a problem with everything.
So yeah, actually there aren't that many snacks.
Oh God.
In the morning.
There are loads.
I'm joking.
But I guess it doesn't have to be breakfast food. Like, we always think of, okay, I've got to have this, but cheese.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Could be cheese, I don't know.
Nut butter.
Yeah, nut butter, some yogurt with some berries or some nuts.
Or like a dairy-free alternative.
Yeah.
I think the thing to look out for with a lot of the dairy-free milks is that the protein
content
is a lot lower. Mm. And a lot of them are not fortified in the same way that milk is.
Yeah.
So you need to add extra things like, your nut butter, or that's potentially where you might want to add some protein powder to a smoothie or something, I guess.
Yeah, I did actually just double check this earlier today, actually, because I thought we'd talk about it. So something like almond milk only contains 2% nuts, contains 0.5% protein, whereas kind of cow's milk is kind of around 3.5% protein. So it's a huge difference. Something like soy milk is a good match for protein. I think making sure that you're buying fortified dairy-free milks where you can.
Yeah, so that means some of the vitamins and minerals that are added to like our cow's milk are added to the dairy-free alternative.
Yeah, exactly. It's added in. So things like vitamin D, riboflavin, vitamin B12 and calcium are typically added to dairy-free milks. Yeah.
So yeah, look out for the unsweetened and... Yes. Fortified dairy-free milks if you're going for those.
But
options.
Use them in combination with other higher protein foods to really get that boost. Yeah.
Good tip. I like oat milk. That's my favourite.
Yeah, me too. It's quite creamy. I think it works well in coffee, actually.
Me too. But then again, I use my coffee as my... So, obviously nowadays there's so many dairy-free options that there's plenty to choose from.
Mm.
And I think it's important to note that like a lot of people message me and say, should I be drinking milk? And I'm like, yeah, if you don't have an intolerance and you're not, it's not an ethical thing for you,
go for it. Go for it, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. Mm. I personally choose organic milk, but, you know, go for what you can afford and what you prefer.
Yeah, buy the best you can afford, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like, green. Should we be, this is a side note, but I drink semi-skim milk.
Yeah.
And that's what I've grown up drinking.
I mean, in terms of the protein content, it's the same between skimmed, semi-skimmed or whole milk. The protein content is the same. It's the fat content.
It's just the fat.
It's different. So, yeah.
By the one you like?
Yeah.
Unless
by the one that you like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Unless you're on a diet. I have to tell quite a lot of people in to maybe switch to that from the milk, the blue top to... Well, no, to green. I go blue to green.
Oh, right,
I don't make them go blue to red.
Right,
I think
that's a
extreme.
Big jump.
Anyway. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about what we have immediately after a run. Somebody asked what they should have the day after.
Mm.
So maybe it's a rest day. Maybe it's just an easy run and you're not so worried, but you've done your long run
on the Sunday and it's Monday afternoon, should we still be thinking about this recovery for our muscles and our body, or are we kind of home and dry from that?
Yeah, I think it's still, you know, important to kind of replenish the body as such, really in the same way as you're doing it kind of day-to-day fueling. So making sure that we're including all the food groups, so not necessarily every meal, but trying to keep in the back of your mind, okay, have I got some carbohydrates here? And potentially looking at kind of using whole wheat options as well. So, you know, can you get brown rice, brown pasta, brown bread?
Often not only is the fibre content higher,
it's increased,
the protein content is higher in a lot of those as well, isn't it?
And obviously more filling as well. And also thinking, you know, has this meal got some protein in there, a little bit of unsaturated fat, fruit, vegetables for vitamins, minerals, again, extra fibre, and dairy element as well for extra calcium for strong bones.
Nice. Although teff, great source of calcium for plant-based runners.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
I talked about this in another podcast episode, but I've got a great teff recipe in the book. Just a little plug. Because I think that's something that we often overlook as adults. There's such a focus on calcium for pregnant women and for children that we forget about it as adults. And, you know, especially with so many people cutting out dairy from their diets.
Yeah. I think the instance is particularly higher in teenagers, actually. I think from my reading, that kind of area of the population is really cutting out dairy.
It's teenage girls a lot.
Teenage girls, yeah, I think so. And that's obviously where it's so critical in building that bone mass in those teenage years.
Are there any other kind of plant-based sources of calcium that we could be looking out for? Or like leafy greens and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, greens is a great option. Yeah, things like spinach. Spinach is a big
kale.
One, I'd say.
Kale.
Yeah, good shout.
I guess it's ultimately, as I feel like dietitians, nutritionists, we're like, eat a balanced diet.
Yeah. There's nothing out of the ordinary
sometimes
here.
Sometimes just that simple,
saying,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing, you know, wacky or out of the ordinary here that we're saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of things that you've heard before, really.
Yeah. And that's when I also tell people, you know, whatever you're reading or listening to or watching, if it is really kind of complicated, take it with a pinch of salt. And also, if it's so they're trying to sell you something as well, maybe think, is this really the advice that I'd be getting from a qualified nutritionist or dietitian? Or is this, has this person got a bit of an agenda in me wanting to buy, you know, wanting me to buy something? We talked earlier about you helping Steph Twell with her nutrition. I think when we think of professional runners, we often think of, you know, them with their weighing scales, or have it, I feel like they, you know, open a packet that's been perfectly pre-portioned for them and it's all, you know, in grams and micrograms and they have everything in the perfect ratios. Is that really true?
No, I mean, certainly the work that I've done with Steph, I mean, she's been a brilliant individual to work with because she's a real foodie. So yeah, a shared passion there, I guess. But with her, I've really kind of gone back to basics, just to make sure that she's on board with all the key food groups, the importance of each one. So again, protein, carbohydrates, so that she can kind of understand where to get those elements from each food. So to be honest, we've kind of walked the supermarket together to kind of help improve her knowledge. We went to Borough Market a while ago.
So like really hands-on.
Yeah, really hands-on to try and make it more tangible as such. So not just kind of going through all the, you know, the numbers and statistics as such, because that's not relatable and then that's quite boring for most people. So trying to take it back to the food as such and trying to help.
Food is such an enjoyable part of lives and our lives, and so many runners say, oh, I run to eat, that we don't want it to be
it shouldn't be like that
grams and, you know, macronutrients and that sort of thing. We want it to be real tangible
food. I try to excite her with food and through using ingredients of, you know, how she can incorporate those into her diet. And we've cooked some recipes together, ones that again that she can repeat at home when she's on her own or with her husband, that she knows are fueling her well, and they taste really delicious and they're easy to make.
She doesn't have a lot of time. Give us a sneak peek into what sort of recipes you've given her.
Oh, we did one, a pasta mackerel salad. Really quick ones. We use some delicious mackerel, just flaked through with some pasta and some green beans, little drizzle of oil, some other vegetables.
So kind of almost following like the Mediterranean diet style. Good quality fats.
I think we did a little bit of feta on it on that one. Yeah, it was delicious. Really good balanced meal. Whole wheat pasta. Yeah, really tasty, but really quick. Kind of takes 15 minutes to
and
make.
Something that it's not, not difficult for us to make. Not weird, not something that's
good. Yeah, nothing wacky.
Apart from if you maybe have a shared office with the mackerel, but
That's maybe one for the evening to cook at home.
I used to work in an office where you weren't allowed to bring fish in. Like there was someone that worked there that was like, no fish. When she was on holiday, everybody brought fish in. Everyone was like, she's away. But yeah, it's important to know that Steph 12, she's a 2:26 marathoner.
Yeah.
This is not just a hobby runner, absolutely. But she eats like us, which is amazing.
Yeah. So she broke that at the Frankfurt Marathon at the end of 2019. Amazing time.
Was there anything that you had to tell her, like, oh, actually, no, just relax on this? Was there anything that she was quite worried about?
Do you know what? We spoke a bit about travelling, because she's travelling a lot, going abroad a lot, and just trying to help her with foods that she could perhaps take with her for travelling, so foods that were good to fuel her, that were perhaps ambient, that she could throw in a suitcase, take with her through the airport, just getting her thinking about...
Ooh, like what? I know lots
of people
again,
like tinned fish, nuts, malt loaf, I remember... kind of packing up in her suitcase.
Tinned fish. I have to say, if I was travelling with my friends and I opened my suitcase and opened it and there was like tinned fish, they'd be like, I think you've taken this too far. But really great if you want
you
to have your
some really
specific
good quality
pre-race meal or your training or a quality protein post-run.
Imagine if you're in a country where you don't really trust the ingredients that are around you. Again, just kind of thinking ahead and being
well prepared.
Yeah,
just not sure what you're going to be able to get.
Yeah.
When I ran the Tokyo Marathon, I ate at our hotel restaurant because it was a Marriott and it was just, I kind of knew what I was going to get.
Trusted.
And then I went to McDonald's afterwards because I was like, I want to know exactly what this is going to taste like. I'm a terrible dietitian. No, I'm not really. All about balance. I just wanted fries after my run. But I think it's important to think about those kind of things so you don't get yourself in a tizz on race weekend.
I think just being prepared and well in advance makes you really well armed.
And was there anything in terms of like gel stuff? Did you talk to her about what she's fueling with during the runs, or is that something that she kind of does by herself?
Yeah, it's something that's kind of quite personal to her, really.
I guess everyone has their preferred gels, don't they? They've been like, oh, I love this specific flavor but no others. I love salted caramel goo and almost no others. But in terms of what she does in like on a day-to-day basis, do you look at the overall calories per day, or do you look at that as more of a weekly thing?
Yeah, so I've certainly done a food diary work with her in the past just to kind of work out where we're at, what her requirements are, and then working that back to try and help her with recipes that are going to help her hit the targets that she needs to meet, depending on also on the training that she's doing during the week with different intensities. Yeah, tries not to eat too much spicy food. I think for a lot of runners it can be quite an irritant as such.
I think also
just reducing kind of fibre intake as well right before a big race, perhaps the day before, again to kind of prevent any gut problems, really.
Yeah,
sorry, it's not
all been there.
Hot
I know
topic, but it's really an important one.
I think it's again, it's like trial and error, isn't it? It's working out what works for you. For me, it's like processed foods I'm not great with. I had an incident in the Chicago Marathon where I'd had a hot dog the night before and processed foods don't really agree with me because I don't know all the additives, especially in the US. I find it really difficult. And so I'll try and stick to things either homemade, but again, and afterwards I'm a bit more relaxed. But.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the challenges with travelling abroad as well.
But it's fun. So I'm going to keep doing
it. It's all part of the fun.
Thanks so much for that. I want to talk a little bit now about your running because Laura and I went for a run like 2 weeks ago. We both live quite nearby to each other along the Thames, which is beautiful.
Very scenic.
Luckily before all the storms hit. But are you training for anything at the moment?
Do you know, I was actually training for a 10-mile run on Sunday, but it's already been cancelled. Dennis is coming. Yeah.
Another storm.
Exactly, that's been knocked on the head already. But I'm doing the Reading Half in April.
Yeah.
Steph Twell actually won that race last year.
Is she coming back? Are you going to try and
she's still in America.
Beat her this year?
Sadly not. No, so I think she'll still be in America, actually. But yeah, looking forward and on the countdown to that now. It's about seven weeks away to the Reading Half. So yeah, that's kind of a big goal that I've got certainly in mind. So doing lots of training to keep me well armed for that.
Nice. And what has been your favourite race ever?
Oh, good question. So I did the New York Marathon back in 2011. It's my first marathon. I think that was... it was a highlight, it really was. I mean, it was hard, I won't lie.
Yeah, but it is hilly.
Hilly and, yeah, all kinds of weather. I remember kind of seeing snow and blizzards, but then also getting a bit sunburned at point. It was crazy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, phenomenal race because you're getting, you know, there's over a million people lying the streets on race day to see those kind of volumes of people and hearing people cheering your name and just seeing all the kind of iconic parts of the city was just a phenomenal way. I always say, you know, running around a city and doing a marathon is a brilliant way to see and explore a city.
as kind of Brits, it's so fun to go to New York and like see all the sights we've seen on TV.
Yeah,
I know when I first ran the New York Marathon, I was just like, that this is so cool.
Yeah,
and it really helps at times when you're like, everything hurts. Running into Central Park, I was like, I have been visualizing this moment for hours and days and weeks. And yeah,
that's one of the hardest parts of that race because it's the last 3 miles and it's on a slight incline all the way as well.
Yeah,
so you've got nothing left, you know, you've hit the wall. You've hit that 20-mile mark where you've got nothing left and there's not much
and they're
left
really mean because you go in and then you come out
just
again
all around.
And then you've got to go in again and you're like, no, when is this ending? it is brutal.
I remember shedding a tear as I ran through the finish line for that race, but then I was still so motivated. I did another one in six months after that, because I was so inspired and just so motivated. I love that course.
Yeah, are you gonna go back into it again?
Oh, I'd love to. I think it's a hard one to get into. Yeah. I think, but yeah, I'd love to do it at some point. Yeah, for
and
sure.
Have you done London?
No, I've never done this. Yeah, I've entered it many times but never got in, sadly.
So any
if you can help.
Well, no, I haven't got a place either. My Tom got in, my husband got in the first time he ever entered the ballot, and I was like, how?
Unbelievable.
I've never got in through the ballot. It's
yeah,
so
I'm about 10
annoying.
Years now that I've applied and sadly never got in. I'll one keep day, trying though, I'll day. Keep trying.
Are you planning on doing any more marathons soon, or are you like, right, if I get into New York or London, I'll do it, but only the glory races?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to do one in the next couple of years, I think, certainly. Yeah, I'd like to do
keep
one of the big
with me
ones. Maybe Edinburgh.
Be...
I know you've done Edinburgh. I'd like to do Edinburgh, I think, that one. And Manchester as well. Manchester's on my hit list for sure. I'd like to do under 4 hours. That's what I'd like to do. That's kind
you've
of
got
that,
it.
That's sat on my shoulder. I want to get under four. Yeah.
So what's your current time?
4:06 I did in Paris.
Oh, you are so close.
That was about 5 years ago now, though.
We've got this.
But,
we've
yeah,
got
I think this. I think I've got it, yeah.
And lastly, what is your post-race go-to meal? Like, take off your nutritionist hat and this is what I've been craving. We're going straight here. What are you eating?
Probably a roast dinner for me, actually. Oh, yeah, because obviously races are often on a Sunday. I'm thinking about a lot of runs that I've done before with my husband, and at the end of it is a roast in a nice pub somewhere wherever the race has been. That's it for me.
Did you struggle to find something like that in New York?
Do you know what, I remember my post-marathon meal actually was, I remember having a burger, I'm having fries, macaroni cheese, champagne. Yeah, it was pretty epic.
Amazing. Laura, thank you so much for joining me today. Is there anywhere that people that have enjoyed today's podcast can find you on Instagram, online?
Yep, so on Instagram it's law_Matthews_, so that's LAU.
_Matthews_. And then your website?
It's lauramatthewsnutrition.co.uk.
Okay, and are you taking on running clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So working with a few different clients at the moment. Get in touch through the website.
Okay, and I'll leave a link in the show notes to your Instagram and to your website. Thank you very
Brilliant.
Much.
Thanks
and
so much, Charlie.
You can find me at The Runner Beans and therunnerbeans.com. Thanks for listening. Bye.